Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
You know, for me and my family, I hate it a little more for my family than for me. The waiting's been tough. It has been a little longer than expected, but man, I'm so excited, so blessed. I mean, there's only so many people who get this opportunity to get that phone call. Beyond thankful to be here in this position. I just couldn't be any more grateful and super excited.
Jake Fromm going off to the NFL. He went farther in the draft than he expected. I think a lot of us expected, dropping to the fifth round and the 167th pick overall, going to the Buffalo Bills. And welcome back to the morning show with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Kind of curious from you UGA fans, if you want to jump into the show at 404-741-0929. Solomon Brothers Diamond text line, or on our Twitter at 929 The Game, at Big Hugh 53, at John Fricke, about what you expect out of Jake Fromm going to the next level as a quarterback in the NFL, and whether or not you think he can become a player. And the question in the morning menu, and it's a good one from the producer, about whether or not Buffalo is a good place or a bad place for Jake Fromm to land. I guess we could kind of start there, Hugh. I mean, notwithstanding the fact that he went in the fifth round, how do you view Buffalo as a place for him to land and start his pro career?
Buffalo is going to be a tough place to play, especially for a young man who isn't used to playing up north. You know, playing in that inclement weather might be a little challenge for him. I think it's a great situation to be in because there's no pressure to play immediately, or at least it feels like that's the case. It's no pressure to play immediately. So he's going to come in, he's going to get a chance to learn. I think Coach McDermott's a good coach, you know, was with him when he was starting his coach career out in Philadelphia. So I think he's a really good coach. I think he's going to get an opportunity there. I think he's going to get an opportunity to sit back and learn. It might, you know, he might be a career backup, but that's not a bad thing nowadays in this NFL, to be a career backup.
No, you make a lot of money as a backup quarterback if you're that career backup quarterback in the NFL. And who's to say? I mean, I need to see more from Josh Allen as a player. I think he has physical tools, but, you know, I'm not sure about Josh Allen, the quarterback, you know, and some of the decisions that he makes on the field. I've seen him, you know, even when he was at college at Wyoming, he made some really bad choices when it was – he's got a little Jameis Winston in him in that regard about making bad choices in throwing the football. And one thing we will give Jake Fromm, you know, a lot of credit for is that he seems to have a pretty high game acumen. I mean, I think that's fair to say that he has a pretty high game acumen. Even if he's not the most talented guy when it comes to some of the other areas. Now, how does this all play out for Georgia? Is this a good thing, Hugh, that he went, do you think, early into the NFL draft, or should he have come back for his senior year?
John, that's a personal decision. I think that with everything that was presented to him, or that we were told that were presented to him, was presented to him, he felt very, very confident that he was going to go at least in the third round. That didn't happen. You know, we were hearing stories about how NFL teams flew him out to the combine and let him know what it was going to be like and all this other stuff. Now, being flown out to the combine doesn't necessarily guarantee you're going to be drafted high, but I think that with all of that, And I'm assuming that, you know, he was in constant contact with people from the league or somebody who was telling him something, he felt confident that he was going to go a lot higher than he went. Now, as far as is it being a bad thing for Georgia, if I'm not mistaken, what, 8 players got drafted from the Georgia Bulldogs? That's probably the highest number that they've had in a while. If I'm not mistaken, it's something like that. I know it was a record number of Georgia Bulldogs that got drafted. So for them, it's not a bad thing. It's not a bad thing at all. So I don't think that this reflects poorly on Georgia, if that's what you're asking me.
No, I don't know that it reflects poorly on Georgia either. Not in a draft where Jacob Eason got picked, and next year you'll have Justin Fields go in the top three, and I know he'll go in as an Ohio State guy. I get that, but I mean, you can see where Georgia quarterbacks with Georgia ties who used to be with Georgia or coming in, for example, I think, Georgia fans are going to be really surprised. Jamie Newman, with my, kind of my old ties to Wake Forest, I watched a little bit probably more of Wake Forest games than some other people did. He had two really good wideouts. I'll grant you that. But, boy, Jamie Newman is a big, long, strong, athletic quarterback who can move and throw on the run. I think Georgia fans, when we do get to playing football this season, are really going to like what they see out of Jamie Newman. And so from a Georgia standpoint, you can make an argument. Maybe it works out better for Georgia that you get one. But also, it would have been the senior year of Jake Fromm. You're not getting a spring practice in Hugh so that Jamie Newman can kind of get up to speed. And Fromm would have already had command of the team in the huddle going into his senior year. And, probably maybe a bounce back year his senior year in terms of, his own personal play, because he went from a top five guy on Athlon's list in college football at the end of his sophomore year to drop it out of the top 50. That junior year that he had just his last season, it kind of cost him, at least in the eyes of a lot of people. And then he went to the combine and did not have a strong combine, and his stock slipped a little bit further. They talked about his arm strength, and his stock slipped a little bit further at the combine. So, this is why he dropped to the fifth round and to Buffalo at 167, which is a place that I don't think after his sophomore year I would have seen him going. I would have said late first round maybe.
I mean, a lot of people felt like that. I mean, I didn't think that what Jacob Eason did and the way that he was touted, that he would have went as low as he did. But, it's something different. When you go to these combines and you're a quarterback and they get a chance to really dissect you and see how you are, your demeanor and everything, it's certain things that probably potentially could turn a team off. Maybe it's the way that you answer the questions. Maybe they feel like you can't command a huddle. Or maybe that they feel like, you won't get the kind of respect that you need to play at the next level. Who knows? Could have been a number of those things. Don't know the guy personally. But, you hear a lot about coaches talking about he looks like a guy who can take control of a huddle or things of that nature. There's so many different intangibles that go into grading a quarterback that I don't think it just matters about the arm strength and all the other stuff. I mean, all of that stuff helps. But I think when you talk about all those other intangibles, that plays a factor into it as well.
Talking about Jake Fromm sliding here, but Georgia now with a chance to have, quarterbacks that played for Georgia at least for a little while, and in case Justin Fields, obviously a very little while, matter of you can count the number of plays, but Justin Fields will go in high next year, Jacob Eason going in this year, Jake Fromm, Jamie Newman will be in the NFL next year. He'll be part of it because I think Georgia fans are going to find out just how good he is. My understanding was when it came to transfer quarterbacks, and there were a whole bunch of transfer quarterbacks out there, K.J. Costello from Stanford, who ended up at Mississippi State, Derek King from Houston, who ended up at Miami. And there were a whole bunch of transfer quarterbacks, and that Georgia decided, which one do we want to go after? And that was Jamie Newman. And so that was the one that they targeted among all the other transfer quarterbacks, Tommy Stevens at Penn State. They really wanted to go after Jamie Newman at Wake Forest because they thought he was the best fit at Georgia. And, of course, Hugh, we had a chance to talk to the youngster that's going to be coming up next year, Brock Vandegrift. We had him on the show, 4 or 5 months ago, something like that, when he was the number one or number two quarterback coming out of high school for 2021. So Georgia is starting to get a reputation for being able to churn out some pretty darn good quarterbacks under Kirby Smart.
So yeah, that remains to be seen at the pro level, though. I think that, you're talking about good college quarterbacks. And, mm-hmm. You talk about the track record of certain guys that have went to Georgia and then went somewhere else. But, I think at the pro level, it's still something. I think the book is still out a little bit on that.
Well, and Fromm is kind of an interesting guy to me, Hugh. We know that he is he's got certain attributes that should be attractive to NFL teams. Even if he doesn't meet some of those, some of the measurables like we talk about, and teams do fall in love, especially, with certain positions. I'll take you as an example. I mean, you've told this story that I think is interesting. You were standing next to a couple of guys at the combine, and you're going, because they were like 6'6", right? I mean, we're talking about a couple of big guys, right? Like Carter.
Kevin Carter and Derek Alexander. Never forget it. We're standing next to both of them. And you know, and then on top of that, you know, Ellis Johnson's over there too. Him and Kevin played together at Florida. And, you know, they were the prototypical size. You look at Chase Young, prototypical size defensive lineman. I mean, that's what you want. I mean, that's the kind of guy you want, big, tall, big guy. And I just remember standing next to them, I'm like, man, I'm in the wrong line. I remember that. And, you know, it worked out okay for me, but still, teams fall in love with guys like that. That's what they're looking for. They're looking for a body type that goes with certain positions. That's just how it is.
You know, Jake Fromm never shied from the big stage. We saw it when he was pressed into duty when Jacob Eason got injured in the opening game against Appalachian State in Kirby Smart's first game, and to lead the team as a true freshman. And all he did was go up to Notre Dame and play a tremendous game. And then for them, I also think it's kind of interesting. They say, well, you know, he's not the most athletic guy in the world, or not a great athlete. I wonder how you measure athletes. Here, Jake Fromm probably could have made a career in baseball. He was a star at the Little League World Series. Everybody knows this in Georgia when he led Warner Robins and went up to Williamsport and had it, you know, as a 13-year-old kid, which hard to believe it was only, you know, less than 10 years ago. But, I mean, he has been a star athlete his whole life. You know, in terms of those, you know, the presence that he has, he's never, shied away from any of the leadership duties. Now, how he worked in the offense, Hugh, and how much of that was on him, and how much was on scheme, and how much was, you know, on players dropping footballs? Because one thing I will give Jake Fromm due for is he had, over the course of his career, I think we can go back and think about his wide receivers dropped a lot of footballs.
Yeah, they didn't do him any favors. No question about that. But, honestly, John, I don't know what the issue was for the scouts when they were scouting him. But I can say it had to be something, you know, for him to drop the way that he did. I mean, for everything that looked like it was going his way as far as the NFL was concerned, him being flown out to the combine and all this other stuff, and him having favor with the NFL, something that they saw turned him off immediately, and he dropped. So I don't know what that is, though. I really don't.
Well, we know. I think we know this. I think if you know, all things being equal, and Tua being healthy, I think it's pretty obvious that Joe Burrow has the chance and opportunity to be a tremendous NFL player. I think we see the same thing in Tua Tagovailoa. I certainly think we see. You know, it'll be interesting to watch Justin Herbert and Jordan Love, who I think has certainly an opportunity once he does get a shot with the Packers. Next year coming out, Trevor Lawrence and Justin Fields, I think, are certainly guys that you can right now ticket as going to be tremendously good NFL players. And through all of this, Hugh, as you mentioned, watching somebody develop who you don't really expect, in a way going to Buffalo, not that it's – look, how do you say this? It's not the biggest media market in the world, right? It's one of the smallest media markets in the NFL. That also is not the microscope of being like Daniel Jones of the New York Giants, right? So you get to go to Buffalo, not hide, but you get to go and be outside of that intense light that some of the other quarterbacks are under and just develop as a player. It goes back to our morning menu question. I think it's very good that Jake Fromm is going to Buffalo. I see no downside to it.
Maybe. I mean, we'll see if he gets a chance to get on the field. I mean, I think he's going to get a chance to learn. No question about that. I think sometimes it's better to go into a learning situation, learn as much as you possibly can. And who knows, you might get a chance to apply that somewhere else. Might not get a chance to get a shot at Buffalo. But if you learn and you know, you take advantage of the situation, you might get a chance to apply that with another team.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, helping you stay connected. John and Hugh reminding you that you can listen to 92.9 The Game at home or on your smart device. Downloading the app is simple. Go to the App Store, type in radio.com in the App Store, download the free radio.com app. You can listen to 92.9 The Game anytime, anyplace. For more information, radio.com/stay connected. Hearing a lot of rumblings about the NBA, about individual workouts. What is all of this about? What are the rules? And what does it mean? We're going to ask Travis Schlenk, the general manager of the Atlanta Hawks, when he joins us live next after a CBS Sports Minute. People always to catch up with is the general manager, grand poobah, and boss of the Atlanta Hawks, Travis Schlenk. He joins us every week at this time. We get a chance to chat him up, see what's going on in his world. Morning to you, Travis. How you doing?
I'm doing well, gentlemen. How you guys?
Pretty good, pretty good. So, Trav, let's jump right into it. So, what did you think of the last couple of episodes of Last Dance?
Yeah, I haven't watched episode 4 yet. I was going to get to it yesterday, but I didn't make it through it. Comes on a little late for me. That 10 o'clock start times is rough for me, but I've enjoyed it. You know, it's just, it's hard to believe that that was 20 years ago that all that happened. So just brings back a lot of stuff that, you know, you forget.
I'm kind of curious, Trav, what do you make of the whole thing in the first episode where they talked about the dynamic between Isaiah and Michael Jordan and the Detroit Pistons Bad Boys?
Well, you know, obviously they were rivals, and, you know, the Pistons were two-time defending champs, and they, you know, played the Bulls in the playoffs. And any time you have, you know, especially back then, those teams played each other, you know, six times, I think. So there's just a lot of animosity that gets built up, you know, when you're competing against a team that many times during the regular season, and then you have a, you know, highly contested playoff series where you play seven more games against them. That's how you build the long-lasting rivalries.
How would you feel, though, as a general manager, if your team just said, heck with it, up and walked out with 7 seconds on the clock or something and didn't shake hands and just left the court?
Yeah, I mean, I think, well, I guess other than Bill Laimbeer, you know, they all kind of regret that decision. It happened, I'm sure they wish that if they could go back in time, they would change their decision then.
Talking with Travis Schlenk, we're going to get into some basketball stuff, but we just started with The Last Dance. I do think it's really interesting, and Hugh and I were talking about this, you know, in educating fans, not only Travis, on Michael Jordan and to who he was, and to watch the highlights and realize again, even for people like me and Hugh and I guess you, just how incredible he was, you know, in the air and what kind of a player he was. But also on the other front, what he was just talking about with the Bad Boys and how playoff basketball back 20-some-odd years ago literally was tackle basketball. I mean, those guys went into the paint and they just got hammered.
No, for sure. It was a different game on a physical standpoint, for sure. And I think the one thing that people forget about Michael's greatness offensively, you know, he was a defensive player of the year. You know, he was on all defensive teams. And, you know, when you talk about, no disrespect to the stars of this generation, like, you just don't see that anymore. Like, he was competitive on both ends of the floor, and great on both ends of the floor. And to me, and again, you know, I'm biased. I grew up watching him and, you know, idolizing him. You know, he goes down as the greatest player that I've seen. But to me, that's what's the real separator is. You know, you can talk to all you want to about, you know, their stats on one end, but it's what he accomplished on the other end of the floor that you just don't see guys like in today's era, you know, being able to do.
Sports Radio 92.9 Game. We're talking to Travis Schlenk, Atlanta Hawks GM, on the WayForward.com hotline on Sports Radio 92.9 Game. Now, the focus of the last two episodes that we saw were on Dennis Rodman. What is your NBA comparison to Dennis Rodman right now? Who in the NBA reminds you or is somewhat reminds you of a Dennis Rodman right now?
Oh, man, that's a good question. You know, I don't know that there is anybody quite like Dennis, to be completely honest with you. You know, obviously, he was a really free spirit and an open personality, but, you know, I think just how hard he played and how good of a player he was underappreciated. You know, he got so much news, media for his, you know, off-court persona, that, you know, people tend to forget what he brought to the team. That's a good way of me trying to avoid that question, you.
Well, you know what? Let me clean it up for you a little bit. I was talking about on the court, like his presence on the court, not so much the other stuff. That's what I was talking about.
Yeah, I think, you know, I think just his tenacity and how he played, maybe like a Draymond Green, who's just an agitator and irritant out there, but still an extremely effective player and, you know, not doing it necessarily on the offensive end, but disruptive and, you know, bringing that winning mentality to the game.
We're talking with Travis Schlenk, general manager of the Atlanta Hawks. Well, Travis, certainly the news in the NBA this week was about the league's decision here. It was originally going to be May 1st and pushed back to May 8th to allow teams to have some individual workouts under all sorts of guidelines, no more than four players, only one assistant coach, social distancing guidelines. Kind of walk me through what you understand about this and how the Hawks are going to handle this.
Well, this is something that came up, last week. The league kind of gave their first indication that it's something they were going to do. And then obviously over the weekend, the report came out that it was going to be for this upcoming Friday as cities and states start to lift their restrictions. And then, as we know, finally we got the official word of yesterday where they had pushed it back a little bit, which honestly I think is smart. As we know, we're in a state where we were easing our restrictions. Our numbers have been going down for the past 14 days. So, the decision was made to do that, which is fine. But I think it's important to see what happens in the city, in the state, the next week to 10 days to make sure that our numbers continue to stay down. And we don't have another spike. We are in the process of, getting our facility ready with all the guidelines that the league has laid out. And if we continue on this current path of a downward trajectory of number of cases, we'll be ready to take our steps to allow our guys to come back into the facility. There was a lot made, I think, in the media when the state eased their restrictions of there's going to be a flux of NBA guys coming to Atlanta to work out. And I don't think that was true. First of all, the rules that players can't go to 24-hour fitnesses and work out are still in place. So I think that was just more, speculation than anything else. But I think there's about 10 or 11 teams that are in states that are starting to ease restrictions either this week or next. But for us personally, like I said, we'll carry out the steps. And as long as we see cases stay the same or hopefully continue to go down, we'll be in a position to allow our guys to come back into the gym and start to work out a little bit.
Do you have a blanket rule as a general manager as it regards outside facilities like LA Fitness, and I don't mean to pick on them, or the parks or whatnot, in terms of your players being able to work out at facilities outside of the team? Or is there a ban on that? How do you handle that?
No, there's the NBA imposed a ban on that right when they started the hiatus, so that rule's been in effect, and that rule remains in effect. They have not changed that stance. And that's what I mean when the media was saying, oh, all the players are going to come to Georgia to work out. Like, it was not practical. It would have been against NBA rules to think that people are just going to come down here and start working out in public gyms.
Talking with Travis Schlenk as we get ready for the NBA to allow individual workouts. And I guess that will be, even if it's not necessarily – and I know fans, we're all grasping onto something, Travis. It's not necessarily, look, this is not practice beginning so much, but it's good just to see things moving forward for a lot of fans. And I would imagine that this, once it does happen on the 8th of May, it's going to be a great relief to your players to finally at least set foot back in and have something that amounts to, some sort of thing that they would consider normal.
Oh, listen, there's no question that these last 4 or 5 weeks have been hard on all of us. We've basically had our routines, we've had our lives uprooted. And certainly our players, and quite honestly our staff, are no different than anyone else. When you're in, my position, your job, first and foremost, and, the Atlanta Hawks job is to keep our players and their family and our staff and their families as safe as we can. So we'll be cautious, but listen, nobody's more ready than I am to get out of the house. I've said it before, like the reason I've been able to be married for 16 years is I'm never home. So this has been a different experience to be home every day. So, you know, we're ready, but at the same time, we want to make sure we're doing right by, you know, all our players and staffs and their families. So we're going to take the steps to be ready if we get to the eighth, as I said, and, you know, things are still going in a good direction in the state. You know, we'll be ready to allow guys in. And certainly, you know, they're no different. They would love the opportunity to get in there and, you know, spend an hour, even if it's just by themselves shooting, or to get in the weight room by themselves. So we'll make the environment as safe as possible, and we hope that, you know, all goes well the next, you know, 2 weeks in the state.
Travis, always a pleasure to have you. Be interested to see what you think of that next episode of Last Dance 2 when you get around to watching it, because it's different. You know, this whole thing is interesting. I got to tell you, and I'm with you on Michael Jordan. I've forgotten, literally, Hugh and Travis, just his ability was, I've never seen anything like it, never.
Yeah, it's there's only been two guys that I've met in this league, and some of it is, you know, having been in the league now for almost 20 years, and when you see these guys every day, you know, they're not necessarily, you know, on that pedestal anymore. You know them as people, and certainly I didn't know that with Jordan. He was, my first year in the league was actually this season, 97-98. And I remember I was working in Orlando, and I was sitting on the bench before the game, and, you know, for whatever reason was daydreaming, wasn't looking around, and I looked up, and he was standing right in front of me, and you know, as like I said, as a kid that grew up idolizing him, it was just the only time I've really been starstruck in this league. You know, I think what people forget, as I said, is just, you know, how he brought it on the other end of the floor too. As great as he was offensively, you know, it just, you never felt like he was going to miss a shot in the fourth quarter of games. You know, watching all those games growing up on WGN, and, you know, like most NBA games, they come down the last 4 or 5 minutes, and they would just give him the ball, and he never missed. But at least that's my perception. But again, you don't even take account how good he was on the other end of the floor as well.
Travis, always a pleasure. Thanks for catching up with us. I appreciate it.
You're the man, Travis.
All right, guys, stay safe.
Stay safe. You too.
Trevor Schlick, general manager of the Atlanta Hawks. We'll check in on the Atlanta United next, see what's going on with the Five Stripes, and see if there's any indication about what we might look forward to in soccer. Jeff Lorenowitz will join us as we continue live in the morning show with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 99 The Game and Radio.com. Morning show with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 99 The Game, all over the metro on WZGC worldwide at Radio.com. Always fun to check in and get the very latest with the Five Stripes as we look forward to the return of Atlanta United. And one of our top people to talk to, as always, is Jeff Lorenowitz, who joins us this morning on the WadeForward.com hotline. Morning to you, Jeff.
Jeff.
Good morning, guys.
So, morning. Jeff, what are you doing to stay in shape, man?
I'm trying to stay in shape. It's work. Well, we work out as a team a few times a week. We have kind of Zoom calls where we all do workouts, and a couple days a week we have workouts on our own, but, you know, it's tough. It's not as easy as going in the facility every day.
So as far as like dribbling and everything, how do you get a chance to do that? Do you like do that at home or whatever? Or do you go in the backyard and try to dribble a little bit? How do you keep your dribbling up?
Yeah, I've got some space in my driveway, where I can play. I think I'm probably one of the more fortunate ones. A lot of our guys live in apartments, and we're doing our Zoom workouts, and people are dribbling in their living rooms. So it hasn't been easy, but we're trying to make it work.
Yeah, we asked that of Brad Guzan. I said, you know, are you going to be able to have anybody, you know, keep you sharp on goal? He's like, well, my five-year-old doesn't exactly have the most lethal.
Yeah. Well, I've been doing plenty of that, too. I've got a five-year-old that can blast it at me, but fortunately I'm not a goalkeeper.
Jeff Lorenowitz joining us as we keep our eye on soccer worldwide too. It's going to be interesting because we are about 11 or 12 days away from the Bundesliga, which is the German league, restarting play, and they're going to restart play in empty stadiums, and there are going to be an awful lot of eyes on that. The EPL, which is in Britain, is going to be really kind of focused in on that because they're starting to talk, Jeff, about you know, potentially playing games in June, but everybody's going to look at Germany, and I know you guys are as well, as a kind of leading indicator about how you get this going again.
Yeah, definitely true. I mean, I think that they've taken the steps as far as training has gone. I think they started with small groups, individual type sessions, and slowly built it to team sessions, which is the goal here as well. I think we're obviously a little behind them in terms of timing, but I think the main thing is, what are the games going to look like? You know, what's week after week in front of no fans, what's that going to be like? Because I think that's something we're going to see worldwide for a while, I think, probably in every sport.
Now, you guys have played a number of games. Unlike other sports, when you go down like to Florida or to California before the year and you play those kind of training camp matches, you know, whether you're playing the New York teams of Florida, the LA teams out in California, you play those matches in front of no fans, correct?
Yeah, definitely. Preseason games.
And you played that one game here, if I recall correctly, at Fifth Third Bank Stadium. They got moved here in the U.S. Open Cup against Charleston.
Yeah, that was a strange one, but that is what it's probably going to be like. You know, an empty stadium, you hear all the voices, it's going to have a much different feel to it, for sure. You have to hope that, you know, with things on the line and with guys coming back to play and being excited to play, that the games will be good, but it certainly won't be the same. We all know that.
We're speaking to Jeff Lorenowitz, Atlanta United midfielder, on the WaveFor.com hotline on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. When we do get back to soccer, I'm going to go ahead and speak that into existence. We are going to get back to soccer. We're not going to have that much downtime. So how do you feel like the depth of the team is going to come into play, you know, because of the fact that, you know, we're not going to have that much downtime? You're going to have to get right after.
Yeah, we are going to have to get right into it. And I think that, you know, the league is looking to fit in as many games as possible and do it all before, you know, probably Christmas at this point. So it is going to be a lot of games. It is going to be difficult. I think with the downtime, you hope that everyone's staying in shape, because it is going to be tough physically once we come back. But the rosters are strong. I think that we've got up to 30 guys. We have the use of our USL players as well at times. And I think that we're probably going to need everybody, because you're looking at the potential to play three times a week for several weeks to fit in games. And I think that it's going to be tough, but it's also an opportunity, I think, for guys on the roster that potentially might not be playing as much in a normal season. They'll get more time and more of a chance to show what they can do in a season that looks like this.
Jeff Lorenowitz of Atlanta United. Now, not to tease the fans, but if you're thinking about, you know, wrapping up around Christmas time, you could actually see Joseph Martinez back with the club during the regular season and maybe for a decent chunk of the regular season now.
Yeah, certainly possible. I mean, you know, it wasn't fun to see him go down, but I think for him to know that no one else is really playing at this point, he can focus on his recovery and know that he's really not missing anything right now. I think we're all kind of doing exactly what Joseph is doing, sitting on a bike or laying on the ground doing crunches for several weeks. So if that season does get pushed back later into the fall, you never know, and that would be a great thing for us.
Yeah, I saw the video this week of Joseph working out on the stationary bike. He wasn't using his legs at all. He was just doing his arms. But the interesting thing, Jeff and Hugh, was, you know, because we're all going through this, you know, I haven't been to a barber in forever, and suddenly there's Joseph with shot black hair.
You don't see that often out of him, do you?
No, because normally he dyes it. And so it was like such a different look to see Joseph Martinez without that blonde mane, you know, kind of flapping around a little bit. It was kind of a different look.
That's true.
Are you finding the barber is an issue for you, Jeff?
Yeah, well, I've ordered some scissors and some clippers came from my in-laws, so I haven't taken that plunge yet, but I think it's coming at some point here. I'm a little worried. I saw what Brooks Koepka did online, and, you know, I don't want to end up with a bad haircut, but we'll see.
Oh, wait, I missed what Brooks did. What did he do?
Well, no, I just saw a clip of him kind of revealing the haircut he got. He wasn't too happy with it. He was wearing a hat. I think maybe his wife had given it to him, but it didn't look terrible. But, you know, it's not the real thing. It's not like going to the barber.
I'll have to check that out. Jeff, it's always a pleasure to catch up with you. I do appreciate it. We're going to keep our eyes on soccer and get ready for you guys to return. And I know that when you do and we finally do get back, as you said, yeah, he's going to speak it into existence. We're going to get soccer back. And eventually we'll get the fans back. And it's going to be so wonderful to have it all back again. It's going to be just a celebration of the sport. No question. Thanks, Jeff.
Thanks a lot, guys. Stay safe.
As always, stay safe. Stay safe.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Brooks Koepka, Hugh. Man, he got, yeah, okay. All right, I got you. All right, yeah. Well, I guess that's really the only thing you can do is just kind of shave your head. I mean, it's not like you can really get, you know, if you're not, you know, I guess I hadn't thought about that. I guess I could. I guess I could have my wife just take the shears and shear me off like I was a sheep because ain't nobody going to see me, right?
Yeah, I guess that's one way to look at it. Definitely. Definitely one way to look at it.
Yeah, because Brooks got he got it all shaved off, like an army cut, like you're joining the army right now. Maybe the only way to do it. I don't know. I mean, I'm not overly worried about it. I think I can wait. I know the barbershops are open. I did see one picture, by the way, talking about, you know, it was Mark Owens, our buddy, asked. He said, hey, did anybody see anybody go into a restaurant? And one guy had a photo that he submitted or posted up on Owens' Twitter. It was like one dude sitting in a restaurant by himself.
Oh yeah, there's some people that are brave and going out. You know, they're not doing the social they're trying to do the social distancing the best that they possibly can. But there's some folks that's, you know, they've been out in those streets, they've been in those Atlanta streets doing whatever it is they need to do and not social distancing.
Morning show with John and Hugh still to come. We're going to talk a little bit of rugby. We talk soccer. We'll do that. Scott Lawrence, head coach of Rugby Atlanta, will join us. Also, what AJ Terrell. Hey, I did it right. A.J. Terrell told Dukes and Bell about becoming an Atlanta Falcon. That's next with John and Hugh after a CBS. Oh, no, check that. I'm ahead of myself. Next at the top of the hour on Sports Radio 99, the game and radio.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.